My name is Serena Korka and I cordially welcome you to my podcast, No Musik Leben. I have studied classical singing, voice, and now I sing lots of contemporary and experimental music. If you would like to know more about me, please look at my website www.irenekurka.de. I will put this into the show notes for you. And if you're even more interested in all my doings, please subscribe to my monthly newsletter. In this podcast, I talk with you around topics all around contemporary music. And most importantly, I share with you insider knowledge behind the scenes, and I bring you the human beings out of our world, out of this new music world, closer. I'm very excited and proud that I'm collaborating with NMZ, Neue Musik Zeitung, which is one of the biggest German music papers, or even in the German-speaking area. And yeah, I'm excited that you're all listening to me here, that you're following me, that you're coming to my concerts, that you get in touch with me, because I make this experience that people who really come through the podcast, that means you already have listened to this podcast. You not just read about it, but if you listen to it, and maybe listen to it even more than one episode, my experience is if those people contact me, there usually happen amazing things because we're kind of on the same wavelength. So I'm excited about that. I'm also excited. Since March, I have a new job. I'm now a radio host, a radio DJ for Chaos Radio Summit based in California. It's 92.5. There's a show every fourth Saturday in a month that I'm curating, presenting. And I show you there a lot of great music or some of my favorite music or music I find exciting. So please check it out. Because here in this format, at least in Germany, I'm not allowed to play music. But on Chaos Radio Summit, I play music for you. In this episode, I talk with the composer and percussion player, David Moliner, who is from Spain.
Hello, David Moliner. I cordially welcome you into my podcast today.
Thank you, Irene. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I already can tell the audience that you're a Spanish composer and percussionist who lives in Berlin, as far as I know. Is that correct?
Well, after the COVID time, I just moved here to Spain. So I'm living now near Valencia. I'm traveling constantly to Berlin. Let's see that Berlin is my second place. Yes, let's tell that.
Okay. Oh, how nice. I would like to know first, how did you find your way into new and experimental music?
That's a good question. I must say that I began first to compose different kinds of music, for example, for organ pieces or piano pieces or chamber music pieces when I was 12. I had not much knowledge how to write technically well for those instruments, but I had this desire to explore myself in this in the music, because I really like it how to write a diary in words, but there were some aspects of my life that I couldn't express in words. That's why I needed the music, because it's more abstract and it's more personal in expression, at least for me. And then after two years, I just went into the conservatoire in the music school here in my hometown in Spain. And I mean, I chose percussion because all my friends took percussion. And then, yes, it was difficult to understand how, to feel myself in this instrument, because I was at the same time composing. I just listened music from Handel. I remember Handel or Beethoven or Bach, those three composers. And it was difficult for me to find myself. But when I was 18 years old, I discovered Chenakis and Barés, this music, very good for percussion, of course, fantastic. And I just find a connection through classical music and also into the avant-garde music. And that, I think, it was the key to understand the the contemporary music at, in, and to believe in yeah in, that music can also well express nowadays topics. Yeah.
And then did you study both composition and percussion at the same time, or?
Yes, I studied in parallel ways. I mean, in my time, it was not possible in Spain, at least, to do both things at the same time. But I did it privately, composition and officially percussion. And then I moved to Madrid. I studied a master there in composition. Then I moved to Genève. I studied there a composition degree. Then UdK Berlin, and then Barenboim-Zeit in Berlin. Composition, all those fields. Yeah.
Great. And I mean, you're now a percussionist and a composer. So how does it is it for you when you work then with, let's look at maybe both with the interpreters and also when you play music by other composers, how does it feel? Because you know both parts so well.
It looks and it also feels very well because and very good because I try myself to be really physical in terms of composing too. I mean, I compose using also my body. It looks a bit strange, but it's the truth. So it's very physical for me, the act of composition. So also the act of playing music from other composers, it's also very physical. And of course, you know very well, Irene, that you are a singer, that I think the voice and the percussion is, they are both more corporal instruments we have. Voice, it's inside the player, for sure. And percussion, it's inside the gesture of its player. So anyway, it's not different for me to do both. All begins from the gesture. And yeah, so anyway, it's very good to do both, exactly.
And you say composing is physical. I mean, you're also just sitting at your table with your whatever computer or paper, or are you doing something
exactly
physical in between?
No.
Go on the trampoline or something?
Honestly, I compose. No, I honestly compose, for example, when I'm walking, I do my notes. I also record myself doing some rhythms and some melodies or whatever. I record myself and then I have a basis and then I move to the piano or I move to the marimba and then I compose with the score. And so, but I mean, it's difficult for me to compose seated, you know what I mean? So that's why I need to move. I need to, the ideas to came through my body and my bones. And yeah, that's my way to do it.
That's cool. But when you have to write it down, then you actually have to sit down like everyone else.
Exactly. That's for sure. Yes.
And the other question was, do you feel that you can understand the composers more when you're whatever playing a percussion piece for a composer colleague?
Well, the truth is, I think the most important, I mean, let's call advantage or whatever, is that if you are connected with an instrument, at least you know how the problems of notation is or are in order to understand properly well the idiosyncrasy of an instrument. And percussion, help us to understand the core of the orchestra. So, for example, if I'm doing an orchestral piece, I orchestrate using the percussion. I mean, I don't use percussion as a color thing. I use percussion as a structural point of orchestration. So everything came from percussion. So when, for example, I'm playing music from other composer, I think I encourage him or her to explore the physical possibilities that percussion has. Or because if not, it could be very good, but conceptually, but the reality is that music should be played, it should be heard, and should be understood as a tandem with physicality and practicity. So I think through physicality and the gesture, it's possible to achieve a good balance between.
And you mentioned the notation. That's always the exciting part. I mean, I'm not composing, but I get so many scores and yeah, it's always interesting what you can notate and what you cannot notate and why it's so exciting to also then work with the composer, and I often feel even when the composer is just in the room, even if he or she has not said anything, something changes and there starts to be a deeper understanding for the piece. And that's the great thing we do in contemporary music, because we can exchange. And all can you are you also then a practical person if an interpreter tells you, well, you wrote a section here, but it's not possible on my instrument, that you're like, okay, let's see what we can do about that.
Completely, completely. You're right. Yeah, that's a good point, because I think that's exactly, that's a good point, that through percussion or through the instrument, I become more practical composer, because when I'm in an orchestra and I feel that some player has some problems with I don't know, with a bouché or open position in a horn, I adapt myself very quickly. I mean, I try to do it, because I admit that a lot, maybe sometimes I didn't do it well. So we don't have to hide ourselves as a composers. Of course, we have to be in the same balance, the same level as the players. We are not more, not less. We are equal. So in that sense, I'm very practical. And I think also more upcoming young composers, and also very talented ones, are very practical too. At least that's my feeling I have from my colleagues too.
That's cool. And I know that also more interpreters, or I encourage them also, speak up if they realize something in the score where they're whatever
I have to
afraid of,
say.
or feel, oh no, I can't do it. What can we do about it? And sometimes, I mean, it's both. Sometimes it's really that I can't do it, and it's good to find a solution. And sometimes there are also parts where I don't know how to do it yet, and once the composer helps me, then I get through, and then I'm like, wow, I didn't know I'm able to do that.
Yes, but that's wonderful if you are open to do it, for sure. I mean, you are used to play contemporary also. So I mean, it's normal for us to be open with these things. But unfortunately, not all the players are open. That's the problem. But anyway, I think nowadays the upcoming generation of percussionists and also composers, they are. And I have to say that I also work with. I like for sure to play on premiere pieces by established composers. That's fantastic. But I also even like more to play music from young or maybe emerging composers. Yes, those who are finishing their masters or doctorates in their fields and in their schools, and they are looking for. Opportunities and for exactly for places to that their music could be played. That's one of more my passions to do it, really, to help and to promote those upcoming composers and players.
That's great. Yeah. And I mean, we know that you grew up in Spain, you're kind of back in Spain, but you also know Berlin or other places. How would you describe the music scene in Spain, maybe compared to Germany?
That's a good question, because until 2015 when or 14, I was based full time in Spain all the time. I mean, I was studying in Madrid or whatever. Then I moved to Geneva. I was only 1 year there, but then I moved to Berlin, and I'm practically there for projects a lot every year. So then I discovered that for sure Berlin is not Germany in the sense that Germany is more open and it's for sure bigger than Berlin. But in Berlin it happens a lot of things, that for sure. The thing is that I have the impression that nowadays, at least I don't know, but in my concerts, a lot of my concerts I'm doing in Germany, I feel that there are unfortunately a lot of old people, which I respect a lot and I feel fantastic. But young audiences, I feel more strange to find in Germany nowadays, if you compare with in 3 years before. And in Spain, I think now there are a lot of young audience who came to, I don't know, to an orchestra concerts and also to my concerts. And I feel that not only, let's call it advanced audiences, but also young And I don't know why, but I have this feeling nowadays that Spain is growing a lot in cultural possibilities, more than ever, I have to say.
That's really great to hear about Spain, and I mean also great with those audiences. I mean, I also had this experience last fall. I was not in Spain, but singing in Portugal, and I was singing in a wonderful theater, and there were 900 people in the audience.
Wow.
It was
That's
like,
congrats.
and I was
Well,
not singing Mozart, so
that's
I'm like.
fantastic. I mean, they were coming because of you, for sure, that they wanted to see you, and that's fantastic. I never had those not 900 audience. It's a lot. I never had this experience. I had maximum 700 in was in Philharmonie Berlin last May, at the concert, a solo concert. And in Spain, well, maybe there is not too much people going in the concerts, but I feel more variety in ages. That's a good point from Spain and also from Portugal, maybe too. Yes.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, you're right with that. And so you also already told me in the when we briefly talked that you have written for voice, and I'm always curious about that because yeah, everybody knows I'm a singer. And I like composers who write for voice, but I know there are also composers who are somehow not so into it or are even afraid of it. And how is it then writing for voice for you? Is it easy? Is it, do you sing yourself a little bit?
That's a very good question, too. I think for me, there is a difference. I will respond to your question for sure, but let me please do a small introduction that for me, I feel very comfortable when I work with a full orchestra. I don't full orchestra without soloist. For me, it's the most natural way to express myself because since 10 years approximately, I had commissions from the early years on from orchestras. So it was very easy for me, let's call, well, not easy, but really practical to get into the orchestration. But then I discovered that writing with a for a soloist, an ensemble, or soloist or orchestra, it became more problematic because, you know, my aesthetic, it's based a lot with dynamism, with rhythms, with intensity through percussion, through, corporal sounds. And this kind of vertical thinking in an orchestra, with an orchestra and soloist, one has to think more horizontally, more plastic. And I remember that I had to do in 21 a concert for Jörg Wittmann and ensemble, a clarinet concerto, and it took me around 7 months, which for me it's really a lot, and I struggled a lot, I must say. So then began the possibility to write for a voice, and it became I had a commission from SVR Vocal Ensemble, and I created a piece for 24 voices, and it was also a different approach. I had to study a lot for sure the registers of the voices for sure, but to understand that voice has nothing to do with an instrument. It's more brilliant, but at the same time more sophisticated and delicate. That's why I began to study a lot Mendelssohn's music, Mendelssohn. I don't know why, but I spoke with singers. Maybe you can correct myself, but I think Mendelssohn wrote very well for voice. Don't you think? Or
You
what do
mean
you
the
think?
art songs? Yes, they're nice.
Exactly. But I mean, so this kind of horizontal writing and the proportions through the voices, I mean, took me time. And anyway, but I like for sure. I like to work with as I told you at the beginning. I like to write not only music but also I mean diaries and whatever, and his histories. So when I have a history, like Wagner said, the word comes before the music. So when I have the word, it's another way of thinking music, which I also like a lot, really.
Wow, so the voice also opened up new ways of thinking for you.
Yes, and also Irene, because the voice is, as I told you also before, for me the voice is really connected with the physicality and the core body of a player. You sing and you also express yourself while singing in an opera or whatever, and I feel that fantastic. It's the most brutal or advanced form of art. I really am attracted with these formats like opera.
And what else helped you then writing for a voice, or what could you tell composers who are still kind of careful with it?
You mean which were my experiences with voices, or you mean with other composers?
About writing for voice for composers who are maybe a little bit afraid of writing for it, what could help?
I think my advice would be for sure to think voice in a different state than the instrument itself, and to think also the balance of the voice should be more integrated than in an orchestra. In the orchestra, it's more easy to bring your sound, but with a voice, one need a lot of handcrafted, handcrafted possibilities, and to delete. And I mean, it's a different approach, and it's important. I think also it's important to think while composing. Maybe also if you are a composer. I mean, for sure, maybe we don't sing well, but it's important to sing the music inside of you in order to understand the essence of the voice. It's like composing and thinking in an instrument while composing, thinking with an instrument. I think it helps to compose and to achieve multiple possibilities with the voice too.
That's great. But it's also amazing that you're so confident with writing for an orchestra, even though I think that's maybe also challenging for some composers to get
But you
this
know,
big machine.
no, you're right, Irene. And I must say, since the beginning, I wanted to write an opera, and I was really hoping that, when I will have an opportunity to write an opera, whatever. And I don't know why, but it's difficult. It was difficult by the COVID, and then, there are plans, but I mean, I didn't have the opportunities I had with the orchestra. And the orchestra, I like it for sure. But I mean, that's life, and it begins with me with an orchestra, and I had possibilities with an orchestra. So I mean, I felt more comfortable writing with an orchestra than with another instrument because I had the experience to do it. That's not for any more reason than that.
Yeah, and it's great. I mean, if you know how to write for an orchestra, you can also write an opera. Because you also need an orchestra.
Yes, definitely, definitely. But anyway, yeah, the voice, I mean, I find more, I mean, it's the be operas from Verdi and operas from Wagner are really different. And the use of voices and the mixture with the orchestra of voice and voice in Wagner, one needs more powerful intensity with voice. I have the feeling in some operas. And in Verdi, the Bel canto, Verdian operas. Falstaff, maybe it's an exception, but in those operas, they are different, the treatment. So I like more involving the orchestra in a polyphonical way with the voice. I have this idea, this utopic idea, like Wagner in a way. So anyway, one have to study a lot, Wagner and for sure Meyerbeer and those composers. I think so. Yeah.
Well, eventually we will hear your opera, I'm sure.
Thank you. We'll see. We'll see.
So, you're a composer and a percussionist. I'm always curious how people like structure the days, or do you have kind of time management, or do you do it both on all days, or do you have more like a composition period and then whatever the percussion period?
Well, that's also a wonderful question. I must say that let me please open a bit your question. In my case, when I met Jörg Wittmann and I studied with him in Berlin, you know that he also, I mean, he composed, he conducts, and he plays clarinet. And I mean, he encouraged myself to do both, to do, I mean, percussion and composition, because he also suffered when he was young, because he wanted to do both, and a lot of, professors or composer professors told, well, be practical, you can do this, but that's too much, whatever. But I must say that York is, I mean, work in a different way than myself, because I think he didn't play every day the clarinet. I have this feeling. And when he has a concert, he plays clarinet for sure. But when not, he can. He's really talented and he can have some breaks. In my case, I need to play every day 1 hour minimum marimba to keep my technique, and then focusing in composition, because composition is not so practical as marimba, at least for me. One need to lose time while composing, and to do, I mean, that works, that doesn't work, give perspective to the music, and that in my case it takes time. That so my daily life is I woke up at half past six, and then at seven I begin to answer mails from the agencies or whatever. At nine, I begin with composition. I'm there until 12. Then 12 to 1:30, I'm doing percussion, marimba especially. And if I have marimba concerts, I play also one half hour at the afternoon. And if not, I continue composing until six, whatever. That's my more or less diary. And after that, I can't do more. I'm very exhausted. Yes, yes.
Wow, that's already quite structured. And so, unless you're traveling, your days look all similar like that?
Yes. When I'm traveling, for sure, it changes. But yes, I'm very practical in that way. I'm very, regular in my daily life as a composer.
Do you need anything to balance you out? Like you already mentioned, like taking walks or doing sports or something like that.
Yes, I like a lot doing sports. I mean, I run every day around 30 minutes. If not, I'm doing some exercises in the gym, but not many, only small to only a bit to fresh my ideas. I like also, and it helps me a lot, to do chess, to play chess, online chess. And, you know, that stimulates my brain. And I think that, I mean, in the case of Mozart, it was the billar, you know, the playing the ball in the billar.
I know that.
I mean, in my case, it's more the chess, because it stimulates immediately. And I feel really ready to continue.
So you also get musical ideas while you play chess?
Not really. It's not music. It's more about balance and a structure and an architecture of
okay.
Yes, balance of music, because it's more, it's a square, you know, the chess game.
Cool. Very good. And who or what has played the greatest role in shaping you and what inspires you?
You know, you mean as a composer or as a human being?
Can be anything, whatever it is for you.
That's a good question. I would say since the beginning, I don't know how, but I felt that I needed to compose to find myself. I think composition, it's at least for me, it's like sort of therapy in that I get more known myself, and I try to get more known the world we are living today. So I like to do some kind of symbolism idea, like the truth is beyond the world. I mean, I know that some it could be fantasios or whatever, but for me, I try to bring some truth that it's hidden, under the world. At least for me, I don't have this pretensions to be, I don't know, but it's for me. I have this motivation, and yes, so, and also to find myself, to understand myself better. I am a human being who has a lot of energy, and I need to play with this energy and to write music.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And who inspires you now, other than you need the music?
For sure, I mean, inspires me. For sure, I mean, I would say that now I'm listening a lot of Bruckner music, Anton Bruckner as a composer, and because maybe it's too much to ask, and I have, please don't misunderstand me, nothing against Brahms, but you know, a lot of critics tell that, you know, the three B's in music history are Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms, and for sure, Brahms, what can we say? It's a master for sure. But I think Bruckner has a very special and very different sound world from any composer else. And I think Bruckner is more contemporary than maybe than other contemporary composers nowadays. It's so difficult to understand a symphony of Bruckner, at least for me, because there are a lot of connections through this bridge that he continuously creates. And I'm really addicted with Bruckner now. I'm listening Fifth Symphony, Eighth Symphony every week, and I try to understand better because all these harmonies, these direct chords, these we can think that Bruckner is very rigid as a very structured, but I think he's free in the inner musical discourse. The harmonies are very free. I mean, the chords are really advanced. I think 200 years before John Williams and Hans Zimmer. So I mean, it's really, really. I'm very interested by Bruckner nowadays. So maybe he inspires me a lot nowadays.
That's great. Bruckner and chess.
Yes, good. Yeah.
And what does it mean to be true to yourself, or call it authentic, in this music business? And how do you keep true to yourself?
That's in that way, I'm also a bit more Schönbernian. So one has to do what he or she believes he or she has to do. So in my case, I have to do this because I understand that for sure. Not everybody would like what I'm doing, for sure. That's normal. But I have to do that. I have to do. It's my way to understand music. It's my way to understand music through percussion, through the gestures, through the dynamism. And I mean, I'm like a kid. I woke up very motivated because I feel, wow, what today I have to discover these things of myself and to organize this music material. And for sure, I try to not to repeat myself as a composer. I try not to repeat, but there are certain connections that I can't avoid with the orchestra, for example, and this theatrical component of percussion and of the sound, and exactly so that keeps me, with conviction with my aesthetic. Yes.
And what does success mean for you?
Success means do what you have to do. That's for me success. Success, for sure. Helping others, that's also a good definition of success. And I feel that it's my duty also as a player. When, for example, I will play now in Musikverein in April a solo recital, and I have. I need. I find, or I feel that I have the obligation to help these talents of nowadays, of young composers who are really talented and really, really fresh and open. So that for me also helping this, it brings me happiness at least. And maybe I don't know if that's success or not, but I feel very happy trying to promote other young composers.
Okay. And is there anything that drives you forward, or do you have something like a vision?
Well, if we speak about composition, the vision is to not repeat myself, but trying to be consistent with yourself. That's maybe could be a paradox, but it keeps me alive and brings me, motivation with my composition daily life. And as a musician, as a marimba, one of my interests is also to place the marimba. At least to try. Maybe it's too much to say, but to try to put the marimba in the place I think it deserves to be. I have nothing against the piano, the violin, or the violoncello, but they are for sure those instruments has a strong tradition. But I think promoters of the most important concert halls in the world have to understand that marimba, it's I think the with the voice could be the most advanced instruments nowadays, because it could be one can sing inside the marimba, one can do project blowing and whispering possibilities, and can play in a monophonic but also polyphonic way. It's very warm but very energetic too. So that's also interesting for me to bring the marimba in a very important point. For sure, not only me, they are a very good marimbist in the world, but I think we are few marimbists who unfortunately we live also with that. So I hope to bring more light into the future players and to have more possibilities with the marimba.
That sounds great. And we're actually at the last question, and I would like to know from you. I mean, you already gave us some good advice, but maybe you have one more. I would like to know, what tip would you like to give young artists?
Well, I would say I will repeat myself, but I would say that keep believing in yourself. And if you, I think in a composition way, one has to have an inner peace for sure to compose, but one has to have a strong motivation to be honest with yourself. Then it happens problems with notation. One has to learn notation techniques or whatever, but one has to be really one has to adapt the professor's advice in order to adapt into your language. If not, all of us will do copies, and that's not good. I think music has to be original. And for the performance, I would say that try to be yourself. That's the most important, the most difficult point in life of a musician. Be yourself and be ready to be ready. That could be a good advice too.
Thank you so much. It was so great talking to you, David. And I wish you good luck with everything. And hopefully, we meet one day.
I hope too, really, Irene, thank you so much.
This was the interview from today. I hope that it inspired you. And please send me your emails, send me your feedback, because I love to interact with you. Thank you very much that you tuned in with me today. I really, really hope that you liked it. And please tell your friends and colleagues about this podcast. I thank you very much. I wish you all the best. Live your music, live your life, and see you next time. Yours, Irene.